So can I encourage us to come to prayer, 7 o'clock Tuesday, just for half an hour. That'd be excellent. Love to see you there. Why don't we stand to our... Oh, no, you've just stood. Sorry. I'm going to read you this verse 5, because this is the actual verse I want to read to you today. Psalm 103 and verse 5, who satisfies your mouth. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the fifth benefit. We've been working through Psalm 103 these last 4 weeks. This is our fifth week in this particular psalm before we go to our Leap into Spring conference next weekend. And David lists five benefits. And so it says, if we go, forgiven, healed, redeemed, crowned, and today, satisfied. Do you know, go back to the satisfaction meter, that second slide. You got it there. No, other way. Keep going. It's there. Doesn't matter. Too late. Never mind. You know, what I want to say this morning is that, first of all, is what is satisfaction? And as a way of getting going, I thought I'd play you a short clip from, I think it's the 60s or 70s. So let's go there. Young, isn't he? Okay, that's enough. I think people have got the message. Thanks, guys. Fantastic. I can't get no. Who knows that we can? Does anyone here believe that we can get satisfaction? That's right, we can. And it doesn't come from the ways that we think. It doesn't. We're going to talk about this morning. And so, what is satisfaction? And so, in the context of this verse, it means to be full. Now, when I was a younger man, I don't know that I could do it now. But definitely when I was your age, I would have been able to do this. Young, fit young man that I was back then. And, I think about this, because some of us guys would have a competition. We'd go to Miss Maud's in the city, which I believe is still open, and we'd determine who is going to eat the most at the smorgasbord. Steve, you could do that. You'd be into it. And, my constitution won't allow me to do that now, but the point is, you'd walk out of there like, oh, that was so good, but gee, do I feel... You actually feel overfull. It's called satisfied. We went at Ben and Avena's the other night for dinner, and I walked out, I slouching in my chair, and Ben goes, "You're right." I think I've eaten too much. The food was so good. Who feels satisfied? What I'm talking about is we can be overflowing with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants to satisfy us with good things. So much so that you're on the verge of overflowing. Psalm 92:14 says that we will flourish in his courts till we're old in ripe and, old age. Senior people. Those people. Yeah. We still bear fruit in old age is what I'm trying to say. Amen? How do you do that when you're old? Because you can be old and grumpy, or you can be old and satisfied, right? And so we can still bear fruit in old age. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and rise up on wings like, which we're going to get to in a moment. They'll be weary and not grow faint. Won't grow weary, won't grow faint. And so it doesn't mean we won't get old. It doesn't mean we will have the same natural energy as a 20-year-old. But it does mean we still have the same passion. Oh, only one more senior person. We can still have the same passion. And so my mum is actually 75 years old. She's 76 next March. And she goes to C3 Hepburn Heights. It's their 40th anniversary today. So if anyone would like to go to their meeting at 5 o'clock tonight for their 40th celebration, because we are a church plant of them, you're most welcome to attend that service. And you can see me afterwards. But Jason Schroeder pastors her, and whenever I see Jason, because we get together every month or so as a group of pastors in WA, he always says, "I just love your mum." And I go, "Oh, yeah, that's, hey, I love my mum. I'm not, please don't hear me wrong here, but I want to know why. If it wasn't for my mum, I wouldn't be where I am today. Who's glad they've got mum?" And so, but this is what he said. She is still as passionate for Jesus as the first day she met him, even more so. Last year, she went on with a group to Africa. And you know, she was actually keeping up with the young ones. Why? Because when you're passionate for God, your mind is just, you just love Jesus. So she's still producing fruit. So I have a lot to be thankful for my mum. And my brother does too, Phil, who plays the bass guitar to this day at Hepburn Heights. So I want to speak into this today and talk about the eagle before we finish. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a good thought. And it is through God's provision the saints retain a youthful vigor. So he satisfies my mouth. He satisfies my smile to one another. Give me a smile. He satisfies my mouth. This is a really interesting point that David's making here. David does not say he satisfies my heart, even though from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so why is David talking about the mouth like this? And so the Hebrew word for mouth is actually ornaments. My wife happens to like ornaments. We have chickens, we have cows around our house. We love these little ornaments and lots of bottles around the place. But when you look into the word a little more, and you can do this free, BibleStudyTools.com. We find that the Hebrew interpretation is horse's mouth ornaments. Our English word is bridle. A bridle has a bit. So what the Bible is saying is this: if you can control the mouth, you can control the body. If you can control the, you can control the body. A controlled mouth or a mouth under control. Who'd like to have more control over their mouth? I would. And so God satisfies a person who can control his or her mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, this verse starts, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. If you can't control your appetites, you will never be satisfied. You will never experience this benefit. Who satisfies my mouth with good things. And God is saying, I'm going to satisfy your mouth with good things, but let me tell you what kind of a mouth I'm going to satisfy. It's a mouth that learns to be under control. He satisfies a controlled mouth with good things. His good things. So when we speak positively, whenever possible, who think that's a good trait to get into the habit of doing? It's very easy to go to the negative. Go to the positive. And when we think of what we could be rather than what the situation is right now, we put hope into our language rather than the depressing things of that day. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. David's being very clear here. He's pushing himself to see the benefits that God has. Who's glad for some of the benefits of God today? And so Psalm 84 verse 11, the second part says, no good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. And when we walk right in God's sight, good things will come to us. When we walk in right in God's sight, good things are coming to us. That's a really important point. God satisfies us with good things. And when we can work all our lives for certain goals, and when we achieve them, not be satisfied. I'm sure you know some people in this situation, or people that are popular, who have everything and still don't seem to be satisfied. And so, in retrospect, our Lord gives us exceptionally good things. Such good things that He satisfies our soul with good. Such good things that, like David, we can't help but praise Him. And one commentator put it like this: if we never cease to bless Him till He ceases to bless us, our employment will be eternal. God satisfies is my second point I want to make today. Who forgives you? God. Who heals you? Who redeems you? Who crowns you? Who satisfies you? God. You will never be satisfied by anyone or anything other than God. Now, I am pleased to say today that my wife, Andrea, is a good thing. She's a great thing. Andrea is a great benefit to me. I am fortunate to have a woman like Andrea in my life. And we have been married now for 28 years, which is a whole another message for November when we talk about relationships and marriage. And those of you who have been married for a while will know that marriage requires work to keep it satisfied. And even when it's great, it can still have glitches. The truth is this: only God can satisfy my soul. Turn to your neighbor and say, only God can satisfy my soul. You see, Proverbs 14 says this: the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. A good man will be satisfied from above. Do we need great relationships? Of course we do. We need to have those. But if we rely on our relationships to get us through, who knows, there's going to become an issue, because only God can satisfy. And so what keeps Andrew and I a good thing is actually our vision for what God has for us to do together. That's so important. And ultimately, it is who satisfies us, because He gives us a purpose far beyond ourselves and our needs. We are satisfied by pursuing the eternity He has put in our hearts together. No one and no thing can satisfy you except the Lord. When we're in a relationship with God, we can be in a bad circumstance and yet still be satisfied. You can be in a job you don't like, but still be satisfied. Come on. How is this possible? Because you have an ongoing, passionate, head-over-heels relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be sitting in an office that you don't want to be in and still be satisfied, because your love for Jesus gets you through. You're still having purpose in your heart, regardless of whatever that income is. You know that you are going to be doing good for somebody else. You Your car can be written off. Your house can burn down. And you can still be satisfied. I'm not saying it won't be a bit of an upset to your routine. And things won't necessarily be the same for a little while. But the point is, you're still satisfied because you're satisfied in your soul through what God has already done in your life. So some of the temporal things are actually, well, they can be fixed. It's not such a big deal. Only God can truly satisfy. And so, just a quick word of advice on this. If you enter into quick rich schemes, I've got to ask you a question. Why get rich schemes, why are they look so attractive? At the core, when you make money, you will be satisfied. Yeah? That's got to be the answer. That has to be the answer. But money does not satisfy. Money does not. Turn your neighbor and say, money doesn't satisfy. And so if your goal is to climb to the top, there is only one thing left to do, and that's jump off. Only God can satisfy. And so Leap into Spring next Saturday and Sunday is an expression of our love for God, others, and our community, because only God can truly satisfy. He fills us to overflowing. It's a joy to give to the things that He's purposed in this, in our vision for this church, to fulfill those things. That gives us more pleasure than some of our own things that we're going to do in our life. And that doesn't mean you can't have plans and you can't go on holidays. But the point is that we have priorities because we're in love with Jesus. And so, what is the result of satisfaction? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? In Proverbs 30, verse 11. Come with me. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version, Proverbs 30. Thank you for rustling all those pages. A few seniors did. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among them. And I really do like this last verse. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, and it goes on. We are living in a generation which believes that they are pure and good for the most part. A generation which believes too that there is that their right to have certain things, even if they haven't worked for it. Give and give. Verse 15, in reference to the leech, in modern language would actually be take and take some more. Who's ever had a leech on them? I have. I used to swim with another thing that my mum used to do, actually. She was in the Gould League, and she'd take all these kids on little camps, and we'd go into these creeks full of them and then try and get them all off. Lots of fun. See, it's a generation that is prideful, disobedient to parents, impure, uses sharp and sarcastic words. And if we're not careful, we can get into that zone, can't we? Because we live in this world. So we do have to be careful. That's why the Bible's so important. See, you can never satisfy a leech. Their attitude is to give to me. It's an entitlement generation. Now, okay, I'll take it off because you're getting upset. I'll go back. You see, my brother Phil is a keen surfer. he's been surfing up at Trig Point most of his life, and he's known at that break, his car actually says Phil on it. Everyone knows him. He's a bit of a legend, actually, up there at Triggs. But he said to me the other day, Nidge, the younger generation are so confident and full of themselves, they don't care who they take off in front of. There's rules in surfing if you don't surf. And it's like it's their right, he says to me. He was obviously a bit riled up this particular day. And then he said, if you confront them, if you dare to say, why did you do that? They swear at you like you're the one who's doing something wrong. Whenever you get your life from someone or something else, rather than you get it from your life from God, it's leech behavior. It used to be that a young person would get up for an elderly person on the train or at the bus. And people are behaving badly because they are never satisfied. We will sacrifice our time. We will fight tiredness for more money. Why? To become more satisfied. But God is giving us an alternative way of living, to live through Him so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And so I want to give you some facts on the eagle today. Whoops. Sorry, before we finish. The Bible says our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, eagles have the same size eyes as ours, but they are four times more acute. An eagle's eyes never dims with age. I wish I was an eagle in that respect. An eagle gets new feathers every year. They replace them. And so when the Bible says our youth is renewed like an eagle's, there's good reason. But I'm not sure you're quite getting this yet. Would you like to know the number one cause of death to eagles? Yes, I am going to tell you. Drowning. When an eagle grabs a fish that is too big for its body weight, it will not let go. You know what the weakness of the eagle is? Greed. Greed. The one weakness of an eagle is greed. Not being satisfied with this much, wanting this much. God says, I am going to make you soar like eagles as long as you don't get greedy. Greed will be the end of you. And so the benefits are for full-time believers. I'll say that again. Some of you may miss that. The benefits are for full-time believers. Forgiveness, health, redemption, authority, all come to full-time believers. You cannot be satisfied as a part-time believer, a part-time Christian. You are satisfied when you make an investment in the kingdom of God, and then satisfaction is guaranteed. Thank you. I'm not sure you're quite getting it, so I'm going to give you an illustration. I walk into the Nissan car dealership and speak with the salesperson. I'm not satisfied with my Nissan. The salesperson says, when did you buy your Nissan? And I say, oh, I haven't made the investment yet. The salesperson says, you can't claim satisfaction or not on something that you don't own. How many people are not satisfied with God? And God is saying, when did you really accept my son? When did you give him everything? Yeah, but I haven't given him everything, but I'm not satisfied. Jesus gave his all and was satisfied. It's not what you are accomplishing, it is with whom you are accomplishing. It's the relationship. It's with whom you do it with that will satisfy you. And so, satisfaction is to be appreciative of what we already have. Amen? Yeah. Praise him. Be happy with what you've got right now. Satisfaction can only come through our love for God. Will we love Jesus with all our heart, mind and soul? And thirdly, satisfaction comes through investing in the kingdom of God. Why don't we stand to our feet? Pray with you this morning. Father, I thank you for this great psalm. Lord, I thank you for your benefits. Lord, I pray that we would be satisfied in you. That we would be satisfied, Lord, in what we have right now. And Lord, that we would be cautious at times, Father. Lord, that we would not allow greed to drown us. That we would rise up on wings like eagles and be passionate for you so that we would have your purpose and vision and enjoy our lives together. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Great place to be. We praise your holy name. Thank you. People of God said, amen. If you like prayer, I'll stay and love you to pray with you this morning. Otherwise, have a great afternoon. Thank you for being a part of C3 Fremantle. We'll see you on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you then.